When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
How different will it look? What can you tell your fans?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We're hoping that the Raiders defense shows up in a manner that is a little bit more stout.
Odell comes out. Oh, that's it with the sack.
I'm really anxious to watch how we play collectively against one of the benchmark teams in this league, the Baltimore Ravens.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah. Basketball Hall of Famer Chris Webber. Coming up, Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Coming up later this hour, we recount one of the greatest sports stories ever that went down this weekend and got lost amongst the avalanche of football, a weekend of pennant race baseball, and of course, a basketball Hall of Fame ceremony that we discussed in full with one of the enshrined members of the current class at the Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts. Chris Webber was on in hour number two. He also said, look for that Fab Five reunion coming up.
Hopefully.
Well, I was a little nervous about that, to be honest with you, because only Juwan of the Fab Five was there for this, and Steve Fisher. But he says everything's good. They're all five. I'm going to get together, and I'm going to be there to take a selfie.
He definitely got the invite.
Yeah. So. The Super Six. Yes. Hour number one, we had Daniel Jeremiah on talking about that crazy Monday night finish to week number one. Crazy Monday night finish to week number one that felt like I traveled to Vegas and had a whole full weekend there. That's what it felt like watching that game last night. The Rams opened up their new stadium on Sunday night. Felt like a Los Angeles night where it was a lot of the celebs were out. Oh, yeah. It was boisterous fans, new beautiful stadium, Super Bowl's coming. Last night in Las Vegas, it was a total train wreck of a great game.
Love it.
You know, a great weekend in Vegas is like, was that the greatest worst weekend of my life or the worst great weekend of my life? Like, that's usually the question.
We've been talking about this for 2 hours. All I want to do is go to Vegas now.
Okay. It's like watching the Masters. You want to go play golf?
All I want to do is play golf. All I want to do is go just destroy myself for 36
hours. I just equated Vegas to the Masters.
Well, there is a correlation.
Who's coming with me?
So it also took, it's crazy. We weren't even done with the first NFL weekend. We're not even close to the third college football weekend, and USC fired Clay Helton yesterday. And a man who's been all over this story, his Athletic article that was posted on Twitter in relation to all this, USC's next football coach, Bruce Feldman's candidates to watch, including a Pac-12 foe, is on theathletic.com. And also you can hit the link on his Twitter feed at Bruce Feldman. Bruce Feldman, Fox Sports and The Athletic, back here in the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Bruce?
Good morning, Rich. Good to talk some football with you.
Same to you. Let's start with the obvious question, why and why now? What do you got for me on that?
All right. So, look, Clay Helton has been on the hot seat at USC really since about 2018. That's a long time. Recruiting has suffered, and they gave him every opportunity. I think they have the new, relatively new athletic director, Mike Bone, had kind of really gave him more support, more infrastructure, and they thought they'd reshaped his staff. But the reality is the problem is still the product on the field. And they got blown out. They got embarrassed on Saturday night at the Coliseum by a Stanford team that got whooped the week before by K-State. You had fans flocking to the exits. From what I'm told, Mike Bone, the AD, was disheartened, borderline disgusted by what he saw as well. And I think come Sunday, he realized it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And the timetable they looked at was, well, you know what, we're on the road this week against a bad Washington State team. Then we have a pretty mediocre Oregon State team coming back to the Coliseum, and probably none of our fans are going to come show up. I think they felt like this move, they just realized, because the fans had already realized it, Clay Helton was not going to be able to lead them to the playoff. The team was just underachieving, and they were not happy with the product. It's just that simple. To me, from everything I've heard, it has been a Monday through Friday kind of problem. They do not practice with the physicality or the intensity or have the organization to really develop players and develop this team the way other top programs do. And I think it was enough. They finally said, we got to just rip the Band-Aid off.
So they did. And is this just also the timing also have to do with the fact that the contract that Lynn Swann bestowed on Helton as an extension a couple of years ago has finally reached a point where they're willing to eat it? What's remaining on it? Is that it?
Yes.
Pretty much?
It's somewhat manageable now in terms of what he – it's a $10 million balloon that they're going to have to pop, as opposed to a couple of years ago when he was really on the hot seat. They were looking at to get rid of him, to get rid of the staff, then to bring somebody else in, somewhere close to $50 million that they would have had to be on the hook for. Now, what's interesting is a couple of years ago, a lot of the fans were really clamoring for Urban Meyer. He was out of coaching at that point doing TV. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, from what I understand, and from people I trust, that Carol Folt, the new president who had taken over at USC at the time, was dealing with all sorts of scandal. I'm not just talking about athletic department-wise. I'm talking about university-wise. USC was engulfed in it. And the idea of hiring Urban Meyer, who has baggage, especially not that far removed from that Zach Smith scandal where Urban got suspended for three games, I don't think he was even somebody they could consider she wanted anything to do with. So that was an unwieldy search process for them. This is more manageable, and it's going to be interesting to see who they target and who is going to want to come up, you know, let's say come across the country. I'm giving away kind of where I think this may go, mm-hmm. but who's going to want to come across the country and potentially take over a USC program that has really been spinning its wheels for a while.
Bruce Feldman from The Athletic and Fox Sports here on The Rich Eisen Show. Okay, the who next in USC? Walk me through your thought process and who might be on the radar screen of a former Cincinnati athletic director and what might be informing his decision to replace Clay Helton.
Yeah, I mean, an obvious choice would be the guy he hired at Cincinnati, Luke Fickell. He's done a really good job there. They have a top 10 team again. I am not convinced Luke Fickell will want to come. He has six kids. I'm not convinced he will want to move his family to Southern California. And everything I've heard is Luke Fickell has a strong Midwestern roots, obviously a terrific player at Ohio State. I don't think the Ohio State job is coming open anytime soon. And I had heard he might potentially have some interest in Notre Dame down the road, but that job's probably not coming open. Now, if the Penn State job came open, would he be interested in that? Who knows? But, you know, now with the news that Cincinnati is joining the Big 12 that came up last week, that job has gotten more attractive. Maybe he doesn't need to leave. So I'm not sure that he would be he's going to be the answer. Another guy in the Midwest, also an Ohio guy who's done a terrific job, and the name NFL fans know a little bit, is Matt Campbell from Iowa State. Terrific coach, has really built that program. They had their best season ever last year, finishing number nine. That, to me, might be a little more, I don't say better fit, but I would be less surprised if he were to make the move. Now, again, he's had opportunities. NFL teams are interested in him. And so he's turned down some good things because he really likes what he has there. So I don't think it's going to – I think it's going to take a lot to get him to leave Ames, Iowa. And then the third guy I would say to really keep an eye on, you know, from that part of the country is James Franklin, the Penn State head coach. Did a great job at Vandy. He has done really well at Penn State. He's been there a long time, Rich. I mean, now And I'm not saying he's getting stale there or anything, but he has been there for a long time. You could see, anybody who knows James Franklin could see his personality resonating really well in Los Angeles at USC. I think that would play well. He's just got a big presence to him. He is recruited at an exceptionally high level. So, again, he's a guy I could see USC being very interested in, and I could see at the end of the day him having a lot to think about with it. The kind of a wild card guy to keep an eye on is Mario Cristobal. He's in the same conference. He's at Oregon, just had a huge win where they whipped Ohio State in Columbus. He's recruited in Southern California really well. He's got a great situation, and I know he thinks he has a team that has a chance to win national titles in the next 2 years on what he's built. So, you know, would he be tempted to leave? I think that's a call that USC may want to at least kick the tires on.
So you want to let's get some real talk here, Bruce Feldman, The Athletic, and Fox Sports. What does USC have going for it? I mean, you know, there are no sacred cows anymore. There really are not anymore. You're seeing it in the NBA. You're seeing it in all sorts of sports. You're seeing the historic alliance needing to be formed because of what's down the road with the SEC and what they're all cooking up. What does USC have going for it other than the fact that that's where some great people used to play? I'm being honest.
It's got three big things going for it that I think make it unique. The first one is there is an insane amount of talent within a two-hour drive of Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
That is not insignificant. Now, Mario Cristobal has done well recruiting in Southern California, coming from Eugene, Oregon, where there's just not the same level of talent or nowhere close to it. But it has helped because you had the coach at USC be what feels like a lame duck coach for 3 years. That has made a lot easier for people to recruit talent out of here. It wasn't so easy when Pete Carroll had it going. It honestly wasn't even that easy when Lane Kiffin came in after him. So that's one thing. The other thing is no Power 5 school is better positioned compared to the rest of its league to be a top dog than USC is in the Pac-12, especially in the Pac-12 South. It has different resources. It has different tradition. It has such a recruiting base. If you're at your alma mater, if you're at James Franklin School, Penn State, you still got Ohio State in your division. You know, even if you're at Alabama, you got LSU, you got Texas A&M, you got Georgia right there, not far away. You got Florida. That's a lot of other heavyweights to compete with. You know, what Mario Cristobal has done with Oregon, and certainly they had a ton of success when Chip Kelly was there and then when Mark Helfrich, you know, followed up that. But it's still not quite the same dynamic. So there's that. And then there is that element of what you're talking about, the great history they have. And it's been a while since they've been great. But a lot of kids and their families grew up wanting to be Trojans. And I think it's easier to ignite that spark when you have that kind of connection, if it's the right head coach there. And so I think people look at that and they see, and also the facilities have been upgraded significantly since the days when Pete Carroll was there, when they had stuff still kind of outdated from the late 60s.
What about Urban? You're already hearing the rumors and you're already seeing, you know, like Bobby Petrino's name getting thrown around. And that's a reason why Urban probably wouldn't want to do it. Like you get your butt whipped by the Houston Texans. And then all of a sudden you're 2 weeks later, your name's attached to the USC job. I mean, that would not be the way to dip your toe in the NFL pool. But obviously you can't get any better of a name than that for college football. So is there any there, any smoke with that?
I don't think there is. I mean, I like what I just said a bit ago, the president didn't want anything to do with Urban Meyer a couple of years ago because of some, you know, what she perceived as his baggage. I think also with this now, like Urban just he's a wildly unpredictable, you know, person in this regard. Like he was the guy who retired at Florida and then came back a day later. And just like there's a lot of 180s that go on. He feels strongly, incredibly so about something one day, and then an hour later it can change, or a day later it can change. You know, if he is 0-9 or 1-11, it wouldn't surprise me if he had, man, I don't need this. The thing is, if he really wanted to be a college head football coach at a very attractive situation, he absolutely could have been the Texas head coach last year. The AD there had come after him. There was a lot of talk. They really tried to reach out to him. And at that point, I think he's looking at what was the Big 12 and thinking, man, if he wanted to, I could go in there and dominate this league. I don't think the NIL aspect was something that was enticing to him of the direction of college football. But again, now that he's coming off of an NFL experience, maybe that changes his perspective. Who knows? I don't think anybody knows to predict where Urban Meyer's mind is going to be with much certainty a month from now or 2 months from now, especially if, the Houston Texans, no one thought they're going to be very good, and they just throttled him in the opener. If there's going to be 2 months of that, who knows where his head's going to be at.
And then what about the timing of this, Bruce Feldman? Because obviously USC doesn't have to make a move right now. I mean, why not sit back, wait, and choose any of the former NFL head coaches going through the Nick Saban career rehabilitation program, including the guy who preceded James Franklin in Penn State, in Bill O'Brien? Why not something like that?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a name that, it comes up a little bit, and you sit there and think, with that name, how would that play in Los Angeles? How would it play in recruiting? He did do a good job.
Terrific.
Bringing stability to Penn State.
My gosh.
Franklin, who basically took it to the next level. I don't know. On one sense, I think if USC, because I'm sure he's already had, an impressive start. Everybody who's been the offensive coordinator at Alabama has been wildly successful. So you expect he will be. My guess is if they end up with him as the head coach, and I don't want this to come out he's not a legit, credible coach. But if they end up with him, I suspect there's been some other people who either turned it down, weren't interested, or they just didn't think they were a great fit. The fact that he had some success as the head coach of the Houston Texans. And he has the Bill Belichick, stamp of approval. And now he's been with Nick Saban. That's all good. I think it's probably, relatively safe. If you start getting into is it going to be him or, PJ Fleck? I would guess, Bill O'Brien would probably play better in terms of what USC's fan base would think. But I think if they get to that point, I think there would be very much a wait and see. And I don't want to say it would be an underwhelming hire, because that's not fair to say it that way. But I just think that right now, we'll see how much interest they get. It's USC, but at the same time, USC has ended up with some very, very suspect hires since Pete Carroll left. So who knows what they're going to end up with.
Yeah, how much are they loving this in the athletic department in Westwood right now, Bruce? What do you think?
Yeah, it's probably not a better time to be a Bruin, because, Chip Kelly just beat LSU, and they kind of whipped them when they did it. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of enthusiasm and excitement for where they're at this point. It's quite a 180. And I think if you're USC, I don't know how you look at this situation and go, yeah, I would rather have what they have compared to what we have, right now.
I'm talking, Bruce, I'm talking hoops too. I mean, what a year. You know what I mean? I'm talking hoops too, and I'm talking about what's going on in football with Chip Kelly. And,
The Jordan brand, they've upgraded the Wasserman Center, is where, a lot of NFL guys train there in the off season. There's a lot of really positive things that have happened about, honestly, at this point, UCLA athletics has become cool again because of the Final Four run, and certainly because of the buzz around the football program after that win. It was one win, not like it's been they just won the Pac-12 title. But I think there's a lot of enthusiasm around UCLA in ways that it hasn't been for a long, long time. Because even when they were good with Maurice Jones-Drew, you had Reggie Bush across town.
Yep.
That's not the case right now. USC's a mess. This isn't like, oh, yeah, MJD's, well, he's Maurice Jones at the time, I guess. And he was over there going, but you had USC and what they were doing. Now it's only UCLA that has some buzz.
Last one for you. Where are some other hot seats beginning to boil, get hotter in college football?
Well, warming up at LSU. That's a rough start for Ed Orgeron. I think he needs to get the offense and the offensive line going. There's definitely that. I think there's a lot of frustration now coming out of Florida State with the way they lost. Mm. I mean, Mike North. I mean, that was just a debacle. The ending of that at Jacksonville State. I still think they probably won't make a move this year and give him a little more time, but I think patience is wearing thin. I would expect a lot of coaching changes to happen this offseason. It was a relatively quiet year last year, Rich, and I think right now, especially when you've already seen a few schools already move, UConn has come open, now obviously USC, I think there will be some bigger jobs. I would not be surprised. Nick Rolovich has all kinds of issues that he's dealing with at Washington State, you know, stemming from, you know, what's going on with him and the vaccine. I think there's a lot of places like that that you're going to see a shift. Who knows? You know, Arizona State has issues with the NCAA, but they're dealing with Herm is definitely, I think, a guy who could be in trouble there as well, too.
You know, I'll just say this in parting. You know, I kind of brought it up when Norvell was first hired at Florida State, and I know there's a lot of poo-pooing about it. I think Dion's the perfect guy there, man. If that seat's hot. Look, in this day and age, reaching kids in high school, reaching kids with a cool program and a cool name, wanting to play there, and then showing off what you want to do with your kids. It does help to have a coach you can call into Stephen A. Smith anytime, and then win some games. And the buzz that he brings to, you know, the HBCU where he's coaching in Jackson State. I'm telling you, man. I mean, I think Dion's proven that he can do this thing. And I understand it's not D1 and it's not Florida State, but I said it before, and I think that's just it's inevitable that he would have been the perfect hire and maybe a future one. I'll just throw that out there, Bruce.
Well, look, I think the more time he coaches there and the more
– yeah.
I think the biggest challenge for him is going to be to prove that, you know, how stable is he going to be as a head coach in terms of – what I don't think anybody wants there is it to turn into, like, kind of a sideshow. Right. And so you've had a few things there. They're a little bit, you know, they don't need that kind of publicity, but obviously the star factor and his ability to be in people's homes and to get into recruits' homes, that is a huge thing.
No doubt.
So I think if he surrounds himself with a good staff and an experienced staff, it's going to be interesting to see because certainly there's pressure going to mount on Mike Norvell after last weekend.
Bruce, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's talk down the line. And I appreciate the 2 cents here today. Thank you.
Always a pleasure. Thanks,
right, Bruce. Back at you. Bruce Feldman, Fox Sports, The Athletic. Check out his article. He didn't name all the names that are in the article. Check out his article on The Athletic. You know, I'm biased about Prime. But
yeah,
keep winning. And keep winning in style and keep talking about the kids and keep showing what you're doing. Did you see who was number 3 in name, image, and likeness money that I saw on a list? His son. Did you see whose name is everywhere in Jackson State?
Coach Prime. Rich.
It's Coach Prime. Look, man.
Coach Prime.
And he deserves all the respect. You know how I feel about him. Last thing, in terms of anybody, how serious he is, and I know he's doing podcasts and he's working on Barstool and people think that's a sign of unseriousness. He might. And he's talking about, like, you know, are you really going to coach? Are you going to be a sideshow? He's not. That's been his whole life has been being called a sideshow. Yeah. And then all he does is be a professional and crush it.
And then people are surprised.
And then people are like, what is that for? It's a persona. That's what it is. But it's also a persona that is magnetic for everybody. And in this day and age, when you need to have a leg up on reaching somebody, reaching a kid, you need to have a leg up on getting your program out there because everybody's trying it. Give this a try. Coach Prime. I'm serious. And I'll just tell this last story before we'll throw to break about whether he's serious or not. I used to host the selection program for the Pro Football Hall of Fame announcement. Before they announced it an NFL Honors, years ago, they would just call the Hall of Famers up at a press conference at the Super Bowl. They would just go ahead and just announce who's made it at the Super Bowl, because the selection of the Pro Bowl, of the Pro Football Hall of Famers, was held on the Saturday before the Super Bowl. The selectors were all in a room, and they would come up and announce it. And players who thought that they could get in were in town. They were in town just in case they were named. And if they were named, they were going to go and show up at the press conference. And if not, they would go to the airport. The year Warren Moon got in, he was driving around the city where he would either get a call saying you're in the hall, and he would go to the press conference. And if he didn't, he would go to the airport. That's what I was told. And the first year we did a Super Bowl coverage at the NFL Network was in Houston. And Barry Sanders and John Elway were getting in. And they were in our green room, which was right outside of the convention hall room that was being used for the press conference. And it gave the NFL Network an idea. Like, they're here. That's something that everyone wants to know about as it happens. Let's make a TV show out of it. So I then began to MC the press conference, which was wild. Because I would have to stand up there and vamp while Joe Horrigan of the Hall of Fame called the guys on the phone.
I would do that. I would sit next to Joe.
It was wild.
One of those cool things.
It was wild. And I would then interview one of the Hall of Famers on the phone in front of a press conference of people just sitting there. And they were all, the reporters were like, what the hell is this all about? Why is this now suddenly a song and dance on NFL Network? This was just something I used to sit here, take notes, and it would be over. Because it was a program. Then we would just do away with the press conference. We just did a television show. And one by one, after the Hall of Famers got the call, they would show up at the set that we had created with still the media members in the audience. We turned it into our own show. We got rid of the press conference and the podium and all that stuff. It was me in a chair and four other chairs. And one Hall of Famer would, after another, would join, and then we'd have a panel discussion. One year, it was Deion's turn to go in. And we knew he was a first ballot Hall of Famer. He knew he was a first ballot Hall of Famer. Every other person on planet Earth knew he was a first ballot Hall of Famer. And we told Deion, you know, this is when we're going to have it. He said no. He said no. Why did Deion Sanders say no? Because he was holding a youth football practice at the time. And he was not going to look these kids in the face and say, I'm leaving for my own personal moment. We sent a car for him, and he wouldn't get in it. He was livid at even being asked to do this for the network and for the hall. Livid. Because he's not going to look a kid in the face and say, you got to give me your all, when I'm now an individual saying, see ya, leaving practice, I got to go take this Hall of Fame individual honor. That's the guy.
But then he came at the end and he was wearing his sweatsuit.
And he showed up with his whistle.
Yeah, whistle and his sweat. And,
he was pissed.
Yeah.
He was pissed.
Yeah.
He was pissed.
I remember that.
And then finally, I'm like, Deion, you got in the Hall of Fame.
Take
a breath. Let's get through it. Let's get through it.
Great day. Yeah.
And that's the guy, like, I don't know. It might be about him. Food for thought. We'll take a break, come back. This is the greatest sports story I've heard in a long time, and maybe ever. And not a lot of people are talking about it because it got missed in the avalanche of football. That's coming up. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Seattle is hosting New Orleans in a playoff game.
Correct.
Up in Seattle.
And we played them earlier. In the season. So it's not uncommon. We played them on Monday Night Football 5 weeks prior. And now we are back in the divisional round at Seattle. Only it's a little different. We're staying over across the water in Bellevue. And so the first thing in the morning when I get up is I have a waffle. You know, the whipped cream, strawberries, and I'm flipping through the networks trying to get either ESPN or NFL Network. Who's going to give me the forecast? There's NFL Network. I got it. And they're going to these sites where the divisional games are going to be played. And they're talking about, this is sunny here, blah, blah, blah. And then to Seattle, and they get to the Seahawks stadium, and I know that it's going to be, and you can see the wind. And I'm eating my waffle, and they pan down on Russell Wilson and Drew Brees throwing a football on the field in their grays. I'm going to tell you where I'm supposed to be at that moment when they're throwing a football. I am supposed to be meeting with the officials, discussing the inactives, all right, and getting ready to say the Lord's Prayer and give our players a pep talk. That's where I'm supposed to be at that moment. I stumble out of the bed. This is my worst nightmare. I know I'm a half an hour away from the stadium, and I'm thinking to myself, national anthem, I'm in my underwear late to the game, right? That's the nightmare that I have.
Wow.
And I just saw Brees and Russell Wilson warming up, and I run to the shower, call my assistant, can't get him. The waffle is spilled on the floor. I get back. My assistant says, hey, what's up? And I said, when did the buses leave? No one called. He said, Coach, the buses haven't left yet. They had taken B-roll from the Monday night game.
Someone in the tape room ran the wrong tape.
Can you imagine? I text Falk. He's on set with Rich. I said, what are you guys doing? I had a cow. Like, I'm telling you, you have no idea. We're talking about being like, this is the divisional playoff game.
Yeah.
Not being there for the kickoff as the head coach. That's how late I was.
And Sean, just Marshall showing me the text. We went back and forth.
I arrive. This guy now is live on the field, and I peek out at the stadium only because of the conditions, and I take a look, and Rich says, good to have Sean Payton here at the stadium on time. Just some sly comment that not one person's going to understand until we tell the story.
Amazing.
The great Sean Payton. All of his appearances on the Rich Eisen Show on our YouTube stream. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. This sports story is why we follow sports. It's why we love sports. It's why we root for people. It's belief in self. It is self-made opportunities coming home to roost and making the most of it. That's why we love sports. And it happened over the weekend, or culminated over the weekend. And, you know, obviously it was talked about, and this person has broken through. But writ large, in the full-on American sports world, it hasn't been talked about enough, in my mind, because it involves the world of women's tennis, and an 18-year-old girl named Emma Raducanu. She is 18 years old, born in Toronto, Canada, parents of Romanian and Chinese descent, moved to the UK when she was two. and she won the U.S. Open. And to tell her story, this is a 21st century way to tell her story, as we will do on our simulcast here on Peacock and this Rich Eisen Show radio simulcast show. You can tell her story, and we will, through her Twitter timeline. Let's start with the first tweet here that happened way back in July, where she said, thanks for the wild card to the Mubadala Silicon Valley Classic. Excited to be part of 50 years of history founded by the legendary Billie Jean King in 1971. She tweeted this out on July 13th, 2021. Now, she had just finished Wimbledon in the fourth round. She retired due to a trouble breathing that she had in the fourth round of Wimbledon. And for an 18-year-old to make the fourth round of Wimbledon, one might say, was a big to-do.
Yeah.
She was the youngest British woman to reach the Wimbledon third round since 2002. And she made the draw for that Grand Slam as a wild card. That was on July 13th. Then she played in a couple of other tournaments to wind up in the U.S. Open, where she had to qualify for the United States Open. Three straight wins and qualifiers for the U.S. Open, did not drop a set, and that's how she got into the main draw, as she tweeted out in celebratory fashion on the 26th of August. Enjoying my first pro U.S. Open is how she showed up there. And then on the 27th, she tweets out, I'm into the main. Not many people were, I don't know, following her Twitter account, but who knew? She's into the main, and this is a shot of her getting, I guess one would say, her hip flexors worked on. Which, by the way, all it takes is just one swing of the tennis racket for my hip flexors to start barking at me. But I'm not an 18-year-old. I'm a 52-year-old.
Yes.
So she's having fun. Into the main. Okay, that's nice. She's a qualifier. Into the main. Well, round of 128, she beats Stefanie Vögele of Switzerland 2-3 and tweets out on the 31st of August, thanks for making me feel so welcome. Very, very happy to be into R2 round two. Now, I'll tell you this. The shot of her celebrating on a tennis court, that ain't Arthur Ashe. That's what we call an outer court at the U.S. Tennis Center. Okay. Now, on September the 2nd, she tweets out after she beats Shua Zhang of China 2-4 in the round of 64. So appreciative to everyone out there for the continued support. A heart emoji and then R3, an arrow saying soon. A little emoji from the young lady on September 2nd. So now she's into the third round. Qualifier. She's won five straight. Hasn't dropped a set yet. And she's now on the 4th of September tweeting out after a victory over Sara Sorribes Tormo of Spain. Thank you for an amazing atmosphere and helping me into week two of at U.S. Open. 2! Means a lot. That emoji with the hearts all around it means love. Or
yeah.
That was on September 4th, 2021.
Lots of love.
On September 6th, after she beat United States' own Shelby Rogers 2-1, she tweets out, we were in the last and then the eight ball of at U.S. Open, which now has, it's now deep into the tournament. Now they have the Statue of Liberty logo attached to that.
Yep.
Thank you to everyone for your continued support. Now that looks like Arthur Ashe. She's now taking selfies with adoring young ladies who she is no doubt inspiring. A qualifier into the round of eight.
Nuts.
Known as the quarterfinals, where she takes on the 11th seeded Belinda Bencic of Switzerland and beats her 3-4. Tweeting out on September 8th after that, final four feeling. I can't believe it. Thank you all. See you out there tomorrow under the lights.
Ooh.
Yeah, they're realizing there's a star being born.
Right.
And they're going to put her under the lights at Ashe. Yep. Against Maria Sakkari of Greece in the semifinals, takes her out 1-4. hasn't dropped a set. She's now the first qualifier in the history of Grand Slam tennis to make the finals. Tweeting out on the 9th of September that she's pure happiness under the lights in New York. Can't believe it. Now she's taking a shot of everybody already being gone, and then the other shot is of her making the finals. A qualifier in the finals, and she hasn't dropped a set. And who's she taking on in the finals? Another teenager, Layla Fernandez of Canada, who was dynamic and wonderful to follow herself, and beats her 4-3 and tweets out on September 12th, we're taking her home. Wow. On the left, holding the Union Jack, and on the right, the U.S. Open trophy. Come on. Started out, hey, I'm at my first Open.
Hey, this is so cool.
How cool is this?
Yeah.
How cool is this?
That was quite the journey.
She didn't drop a set. Making the most of the opportunity. Qualifying. And you know what? I told my kids this. I'm going to get emotional. I told my kids this. Don't let anybody tell you you can't. Yep. You don't know how good you are until you try. You might be the best at it and think, I can't. And then you get out there amongst the best and you beat them all. How great is that? It's the greatest sports story that can be told. And then once you try hard and you try your hardest and you believe in yourself and you tell everybody else, I'm me, I'm going to do it, and you do it, then you soak in the trappings. Like getting tweets from the Queen of England. Uh-huh. Tweets from the King of England. And all the royalty. Look at the at royal family. Who knew? There's a blue check mark with an avatar of the queen. The queen sent a message to her.
Wow.
And then everybody.
That's awesome.
Dukes and duchesses start tweeting at her. One after the other. The royal family. Showing up on Good Morning America. Here in our country, after winning our country's tournament. And then, you know, in many books, the ultimate. Last night at the Met Gala. That happened to Emma Raducanu, an 18-year-old who less than 3 weeks ago was who's she for most. What can she do with an opportunity and a ticket? Hit the lottery.
Chip in a chair.
Chip in a chair. You've got a shot. You're a qualifier. What can you do? If you're a qualifier, from now on, you can do what she did. And I can only hope that she gets off of Twitter and doesn't look at all the garbage that might be coming her way as an 18-year-old young lady in this world. You be you, Emma Raducanu.
Yeah,
I think it was just amazing, awesome. And I can't get enough of it. And I love telling her story through her own Twitter timeline, which I think is a very millennial thing for a 52-year-old to do.
And people are into it, Rich. You said she only had a few thousand a few weeks ago. She's over 500,000 now followers.
Just be careful with that. That's all.
Yeah.
Congratulations. What a story. I love it. Take a break. Your phone calls, and we'll wrap up the show and set up the rest of the week right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
You and your dad watch football, and for years this has been going on?
It's probably been only been, maybe, it's just been recently, maybe the last 3 years.
Okay,
something like
so what happens?
We sit around, we watch the game, and whenever they have a shot of a head coach.
The cutaway.
The cutaway.
Mm-hmm.
We like to guess what that individual is like as a stepfather.
Brockman, who's up first? Who do we have up first here?
First up, Alabama head coach Nick Saban.
What is he? What would taking a look at Nick Saban?
Nick Saban is the kind of stepfather that, regardless of how different he may seem to you, in every single Christmas card photo, his hair has been the exact same since he married your mother. He's also the kind of stepfather that wears dress pants and then a white tank top undershirt. All the time, unless he leaves the house and then he puts on the dress shirt.
Ohio State head coach, Urban Meyer.
What sort of stepdad would Urban Meyer be?
Urban Meyer is really the kind of stepfather that's just always kind of confused and is really can never remember anybody's name. He'll always call Bobby Stevie and Stevie Jimmy.
Hey, Jimmy.
That's not Jimmy, Dad. That's Bobby. Whatever.
Former 49er head coach, current Michigan head coach, Jim Harbaugh.
Be gentle here.
You be having a conversation with him.
Mm-hmm.
You think it's going really great.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just all of a sudden gets a look on his face and he goes, "What was that?" And your heart just goes into your throat and you think you've said something horribly wrong. And you instantly start thinking about all the things that you could possibly be getting in trouble for.
Do we have Tom Sula?
We have a bonus one.
You got Tom Sula?
I've got this one. What about your current
Niner head coach?
He is the kind of guy that he will be having a conversation with you, and he'll never be looking at you. And he'll be going, "How's your day? You got a good day?" And you start telling him how your day was. And then he'll always go, "Hey, honey, what's for dinner?" No matter what you're talking about, so you can be bearing your soul.
Can we try?
Yeah, you'd be bearing your soul. Yeah.
So hold on a minute. So I'll be your stepson.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. How was the day?
That was great. Dad, let me tell you about what was going on.
Hey, honey, have you seen the clicker? Where's the clicker? I got it. Sorry, Rick.
No, I just was telling you about what I was doing at school. Me and my friends, we had this great time.
Hey, did you throw out the paper, honey? I didn't finish that crossword puzzle. You got to have a talk with your mother.
Oh, the great Colin Hanks. Oh, man. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, we'll take your phone calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Chris, you got in my ear just a couple minutes ago, I can't believe it. Man. Norm MacDonald is passed away.
It's so sad. Yeah, we lost Norm today at age 61. He'd been battling a very private fight with cancer for the last decade, according to Deadline.
10 years?
Yeah, not a lot of people knew about it, but we lost Norm MacDonald today, one of the best.
Oh, that's awful. He was one of Letterman's favorite comics. He was the last comic that did stand up before Letterman hung him up. Yeah. Like he was, I think, the second to last segment of Letterman's run.
I think he was the last guest, right?
Yeah, and he was brilliant. Brilliant. One of the best stand up comics ever. And,
absolutely fearless.
And fearless is a good word. I'll tell the
weekend updates.
I remember his ESPYs that he hosted.
Yeah.
And I remember running around Radio City Music Hall, I have a memory of being on like the mezzanine, walking to that side mezzanine stage or, booth where they would put me and Stuart Dan and Keith did it up there. Dan and Keith always said that.
Yeah, like
Keith always referred to it like the old Muppets. Yeah, right? And I remember walking to that spot or walking from it. I don't remember. And Norm popped out. Popped out. Like, I was wondering why he was where he was. It was really weird. And he asked me the score of a game because he had money on it. Because he was a big sports gambler.
Big time gambler. Huge.
Big sports fan. Huge sports gambler. Yep. And a funny, funny guy. Fearless. The joke he told that night. I'll tell it. The joke he told that night. Charles Woodson was in the stands. Was in the audience. He just won the Heisman. And he told him, first defensive player to ever win the Heisman. They would never take it away from you. Pause. Unless you kill your wife and a waiter. And the whole audience was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And then they cut away to Ken Griffey.
They cut to Ken Griffey, and he's just like what?
Wide-eyed, like, what?
Why is this camera on me?
And I think the only way to, you know, honor him and his memory and his craft is to tell a joke that just, like, he personified his sense of humor and his fearlessness.
So good.
So good.
I mean, and I'm like crestfallen.
Yeah, that one hits.
61. Ugh. I did not know. Ugh. Nor apparently did it, from what I'm reading in the commercial break, his family, friends. Fans, like, he kept it to himself. Let's go the phone lines here. Justin in Atlanta, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Justin?
Hey, Rich. I appreciate you taking my call, sir.
Thanks for making it.
I wanted to have 2 points. I appreciate you bringing up Emma's story, the tennis player.
Yes.
Me too. Her story, sir, is your story. Who'd have thought a little kid from Brooklyn, New York, will grow up to be the best broadcaster on television.
You're too kind, man, unless you're Fern and Marv.
No, I'm talking about you.
Okay.
You're very respected as a former player who was never good enough to get interviewed. Everybody looks up to you, and everybody respects you.
Thank you.
That's why it's so easy for you to get guests on your show.
Thank you.
I want to go. My second point is I was yelling at the TV. Mm-hmm. And I should have waited for you to let your guests talk when you were talking about USC.
Okay.
Because I should have known, because your mind is so great, that you were allowing them to answer the question and then you hit them with it. You were thinking the same thing that I was thinking.
Which is?
Players now who are coming from high school want a coach who can make them famous. We're dealing with millennials now. We're dealing with kids who are on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. And we have coaches that are former players who have a lot of following, that their programs are doing fantastic now because kids want to go play for someone that they feel can get them to the next level. Deion Sanders, Juwan Howard, Penny Hardaway, all of those programs are doing fantastic, and they're recruiting. They have kids standing in line trying to get in those schools now. Rich, I have a guy who can be the next head coach for USC.
That is?
You ready?
Sure.
He was the number one pick in football in 2012.
All right.
He retired abruptly.
Andrew Luck?
Andrew. Exactly. Where did Andrew Luck go to college at?
Stanford.
Exactly. He's a California kid. He can get kids in a seat. And then before you say, well, he's never coached, well, you might want to look at his bio. He's assistant coach at Summit High School. He has the coaching bug. If they were to reach out to Andrew Luck, he would take that job.
Thanks for
the recruiting would follow by the droves. What's the number one position in college football? The quarterback position.
That's a fascinating.
They would get every quarterback in the state of California, bar none. Forget about it. Drop the mic.
Thank you for the call. You can drop the mic as well.
Yeah.
That's an. I mean,
call back.
I don't know. We haven't. Nobody's heard from Andrew Luck. In a very long time. It's just an interesting food for thought there.
I like it.
You know what the counter-recruiting would be. Hasn't done it before, and he quit out of nowhere.
Right.
Oh, but people would have a field day like that.
I think so, but
which is patently unfair.
Yeah.
But the never's done it before is something you hear quite a bit. But you've got to, I think you need to overlook it. When you've got somebody who's passionate and knows football very well, it's the commitment to the craft, though. And people think that you need to go pound the pavement everywhere to show that you've been committed to the craft. And sometimes somebody can say, I'm committed to the craft. And Deion's grown, man. How many times did we watch games with him when somebody made a stupid mistake and he would cut say, him. Cut him.
Cut him.
I would cut him before he's back on the sideline.
Cut him.
Now, so he would say that all the time. He would scream at the screen. Cut him.
Just walk off. Cut him.
Cut him. Now, that was part of him being a very competitive man because it was costing him the banner in our weekly competition of picking games.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's not cutting players just because they make a silly mistake now.
No.
Great show. I want to thank Daniel Jeremiah. I want to thank also Bruce Feldman and Chris Weber. That was great. Go to our YouTube stream, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show if you missed any of it. On tomorrow's show, John Lovitz will be on our program. We ask him about Norm.
Oh,
right? Ken Burns, the great documentary director, he's putting his Ken Burns treatment on Muhammad Ali for PBS.
Nice.
And our Gorilla Glue toughest player on planet Earth. Who is that going to be? It'll be a great reveal. That's on Wednesday. Chat then. Tuesday. See you then.